I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something that did I still have.
Right. Happy holidays, Lohan. Yes, it's time for our first holiday film of the Nothing But Netflix season. And now, let's welcome in the man who brings joy to so many all throughout the year. Here he is, Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you? Happy holidays.
It's Christmas, bitch. Let's do it. Rob. It's time. Tis the season. Lindsay Lohan's here. Santa's here. You and I are here. And we're ready to bring in the season of turkey and, you know, all these other things that are typically shared with Thanksgiving. But we're going to just skip all of that and go straight to the snow, the Yuletide, the sleighs, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it, Rob.
Let's do it to talk about one of Netflix's top original films at this hour. It hit number one over the weekend. It's called Falling for Christmas, Netflix's take on a Hallmark holiday tale with Lindsay Lohan as the lead. We have a special guest here to join us. Once upon a time, I'm sure he talked about Lindsay Lohan's mom playing a celebrity big brother. Please welcome in the great Matt Liguori. Matt, how are you?
Very good. I spent a lot more hours talking about Cordova Street in my life than I have Dina Lohan. But
I'm excited. It's Cord, not Cordova Street, everybody. Okay. Cordova Street.
Yes, I know there was a lot of confusion about that. Mm-hmm. But yes, I mean, it is pretty early for the Christmas spirit, if you ask me. I'm one of those people that like at least wait till Thanksgiving. But when Lindsay Lohan tells you it's time for Christmas, you listen.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan is here. Netflix, the Christmas creep is happening. They're emptying the bag, Chappelle, of all their holiday stuff in November. They're not waiting until like a week before Christmas to drop all these holiday films on us.
No. Like Matt said, when Lindsay Lohan says it's time to go, it's time to go. I don't know who's the authority, though. Does like Lindsay Lohan decide if it's Christmas, or does Mariah Carey decide when it's Christmas? Because I think there's some debate to be had there, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it's been Mariah's thing for all these years, but the Lohanissance is upon us, as the Twitter streets and online it will tell you. So I don't know. We could be looking at a new era upon us as the Lindsay Lohan Christmas takeover.
Yes. Has Lindsay Lohan done any other holiday films?
I believe Mean Girls is technically a Christmas movie.
That's the question. Mean Girls a Christmas movie? Chappelle? Mm.
I mean, there's Christmas cheer, but there for me, a Christmas movie has to have Santa in it. And I don't think, oh no, there is Santa. Damien is Santa in that movie at some point, passing out candy canes. So yeah, I think that makes it a Christmas movie.
Okay.
They sing a Christmas song, and that's, you know, one of the most memorable scenes of the movie. I think I will have to side with you. I think I'm siding with you. Yes, it is a Christmas movie.
Okay. All right. Well, Lindsay Lohan is here to help kick off the holidays here on Netflix, as we will talk about Falling for Christmas, a film about a woman who is a hotel heiress who, after suffering a traumatic head injury, ends up having a bad case of amnesia, forgets who she is, and ends up being taken in by another innkeeper, what would you say, a lodge owner who teaches her a little bit more about the simpler things in life until she can finally regain her memory and realize that maybe this was the best thing that ever happened to her here. Spoiler alerts for the film Falling for Christmas. First off, let me just say, I don't like the name Falling for Christmas.
Why not?
I don't think what I guess she fell off a like fell down a hill,
a mountain, Rob. It's
quite literally.
It's a pretty big fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she fell in love with him. You know, it's a double entendre, right? It mm-hmm. makes sense.
I guess so. I don't love it. I don't love it.
Maybe his name should have been Chris and not Jake, and then you could have even.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Filing for Chris. Mas.
Yeah. I feel like there could have been something like a Christmas to remember or something like that. I think we could have done something with like memories. Like, I think that that would have been probably.
You have to keep in mind, like, look up, you know, the Rolodex of all the Christmas movies that exist and how, you know, is anything still open?
How many titles are left? Yeah.
That's fair. That's probably Remembering Christmas or A Christmas You Won't Forget. Something like that is already exists. I don't know. Fall of Christmas seems fine, but I think you're right, Rob. I think the fall is actually like one of the smallest plot points in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I
mean, it's more of a slide.
She does fall again. Falls twice.
She does fall again. You're right. She falls down the stairs at least. And then she does fall in love. I don't know, Rob. I was leaning towards you, but three falls does constitute a good title for this movie. That Falling for Christmas, I think we have to allow it.
Okay. We'd love to hear from the audience if they like Falling for Christmas or if they have any other thoughts on this. But really, this is, to me, just a Hallmark holiday film adaptation of Overboard. Have either of you ever seen Overboard?
No.
It's an 80s movie. Goldie Hawn is Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Goldie Hawn is basically a rich lady. She ends up falling off of a boat. And then Kurt Russell, who is like a worker, who is like doing work on her boat, ends up being the person to end up like taking her in and basically like making her his maid.
Mm. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's the same exact movie. Yeah. A lot of movies about amnesia. A lot of movies about people, they get hit on the head and they can't remember what's going on. So I reached out to a friend of the pod to get some background about this. And I reached out to our great friend, former guest here on Nothing But Netflix, Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz, because I got to know, like, I asked her, Amanda, do you know anything about amnesia, about how that works? Because she studies traumatic head injuries and how this works. And basically what she said was that if somebody gets a, you know, traumatic head injury, that they might have some loss of memory surrounding the incident that caused them to be in this accident. For instance, say like you got into a bad car accident, you may have no memory of the events around the accident after that, but there's almost never been a recorded case of somebody, like, you get hit on the head with a bowling pin and then you forget who you are. That is not medically accurate.
Look, Dr. Amanda says things sometimes, and I know she sounds like an expert. She is a doctor, and I'm not questioning that. But has she taken into consideration the Christmas spirit? You know, around this time, crazy things happen. We get miracles. We get amnesia that just takes out all of your memory or some of your memory. You know enough to know that you're too bougie for the situation that you're in, but not enough to know your name, your dad's name. We also know that science probably doesn't say that if you hit your head again, your memory comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen, TV taught me a long time ago, if someone hits their head and they lose their memory, hit them in the same spot, it comes back.
Right.
I'm surprised we didn't go there in this movie. Honestly, this seems like a plot hole to me, but whatever. What do I know? I'm not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, how many of those people that we're talking about that have, you know, suffered a bad case of amnesia that may not remember, whatever, like, how often are they also falling in love, like, in real life? Because, you know, when you have that special person that comes along at the exact right time to help you and lift you up and be there for you and, you know, take you into your resort, like, you don't know until you actually see it play out in front of you. So,
yeah, because I had a lot of questions about amnesia and how it works, because I was wondering, like, if you get amnesia, like you do in this movie, you forget your name, but can you remember, like, all of the things that you know how to do? Like, if I had amnesia, would I not know who I was, but I could still, like, work all the podcast equipment? I'm like, wait, hold on. How do I know this? How do I?
No. Yeah. I don't think so. I mean,
go for it.
You could try. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's so ingrained within you that it'd be hard for you to forget it, but.
Because Lindsay Lohan, like, she was so, like, useless as a person. It was like that she kind of had no skills to draw from when she was suffering from amnesia. So Akiva-esque, you would even say, Chappelle. Like, she couldn't make a bed. She couldn't cook an egg. She couldn't do laundry.
Yeah, pretty much Akiva. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, it's weird, though. You know, she forgot her name, but she didn't forget, like, what a shirt is.
Yeah.
A doorknob. How to start her day. Like, she doesn't forget things that you would think are second nature to her because she's been doing them all her life. But she forgot her name, which also should be second nature to her because she's had it her whole life. Mm-hmm. Now, there were moments where there were, like, glimpses of her previous memory. There's a moment where she's trying to decide what her new name will be, and she goes with Sarah as opposed to her actual name, Sierra. So there were little hints there. But
a lot of Game Changers vibes.
Yeah, but she didn't seem to forget anything that actually, like, that didn't matter, right? Like, she forgot all the stuff that was super important, but everything else she just happened to know. But again, it's Christmas, Rob. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah. Okay. Matt, did you like this movie? Is this a good movie?
I am inclined to say yes. I'm somebody who doesn't watch a lot of movies.
What about holiday movies? Do you watch a lot of these Christmas movies?
Yeah. No, definitely. Like, if I'm watching a movie in general, it's probably not a holiday movie. But this was announced, like, over a year ago that this was going to happen. This was filmed over a year ago. Lindsay Lohan's not returned. It's not like she's been, like, completely gone. But Lindsay Lohan, you add in, of course, Cord Overstreet, you know, big name from Glee, at least in my world. I was very excited for this to happen. So when it finally came out, it was like, oh, this is so exciting. And then it was just your standard run-of-the-mill, you know, Christmas rom-com. And that's fine. I mean, you got to keep, you know, recycling some of the stories for the new generations. And if the new generations, these kids are going to grow up with this Lindsay Lohan, Cord Overstreet, you know, rom-com. Sure. Great.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Chappelle, how do you feel about these types of movies?
I'm good. I don't need them. I understand that there's a purpose for them, but it's not my bag, baby. It's just not. It's one of those things where it's like, I get the rom. I don't really get a lot of calm. I need a little bit more calm in my room for me to really stick around for this kind of thing. But I mean, it's the holidays. These movies are meant to make you feel warm inside and happy. They're supposed to be stress-free. Sasha says that this is the best thing that America does is, like, Christmas movies. And because she's not from here and she does not celebrate Christmas, but she says, like, these movies, they just speak to her. And I think it's one of the best things that we do, according to some people. It's just not for me necessarily, but I'm happy if it's for somebody else and I'm happy to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people love these holiday movies. They just have them on, like, all day long and they're all the same. Every single one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was pretty formulaic. There were a couple twists that I wasn't really expecting, but for the most part, I could have wrote this movie. I'm pretty sure I could have wrote this movie because I've already seen it. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean overboard. I mean, just like the general, like, person who doesn't belong in someone else's world ends up in their world by happenstance. The guy is like, oh, this woman or this, the woman is like, oh, this guy or vice versa or whatever the case may be. It's like, this person doesn't fit in and I don't really understand them, but somehow the Christmas spirit just brings them together. Then there's a moment where that person is whisked away and they can no longer be a part of this new romance that's budding in front of them. But then it all works out at the end. Santa winks at the camera. We sing, we dance. Everybody lives happily after, ever after. And then the kid has a new step parent. It's pretty typical.
Yeah. You also missed, in addition, there's always like a small business that's about to go under. Somehow that's all like very tied into the Christmas movie mythology of there's like some mom and pop business that's being really just like destroyed by some like big enterprise, and somehow they're able to rally enough money to support the small business. Yeah. Support your local small business, everybody, this Christmas.
It's usually like the toy shop or something like that. The toy shop's going under and we got to you know, keep it alive. This was at least, you know, the difference here for anybody who didn't watch is that we're in a couple of different ski lodges. So
yeah, bed and breakfast.
Jake, Yeah, Cordova Street has a ski lodge, and that's the business in question here. Lindsay Lohan, her father in the film, also owns this nice place. So, you know, we're kind of bouncing around into some, you know, different atmospheres of places you can go and get some different kind of B-roll along the way, where we get to see, you know, even after the head injury happens, we're still going to get her back on skis and give it another shot. So, you know, keep things interesting.
The movie opens with Lindsay Lohan, aka Sierra Belmont. She is very like spoiled, but not like she's not evil. I think that the movie needed to make her more entitled, more spoiled. In Overboard, they do a good job of this, of like I feel like we kind of have to like not like her in the beginning and kind of see her get like really get brought down a couple of pegs when she loses her memory. She was just like rich, Chappelle, but she wasn't mean.
Yeah, this was not a Mean Girls movie. This was a completely different story. And so, yeah, they could have leaned into that, but we've seen that before, Rob. We've seen like the Scrooge.
You're right. Everything they did was pretty original here. It's a good point.
Original-ish. It was like the normal thing, but like a little less in that area. So, yeah, she's just a spoiled lady who does not want to be spoiled. She wants to have her own career. She doesn't want to be handed a job as the VP of atmosphere for the hotel her dad owns. And so she's trying to figure out how to break out of that alongside her future fiance, Tad. Matt, did you have any strong feelings about Tad? Do you know this man?
I don't know this man, but I feel like if we had, you know, crossed paths in the same time that he was crossing paths with Lindsay Lohan, I feel like the eyes would have been traveling in other directions, just like, you know, it does throughout the movie. Every time he's, you know, in a conversation with two people, if one of them is Lindsay Lohan and one of them is just some guy walking past, you know, he's probably not looking at Lindsay Lohan for that split second. And that was definitely the calm in the movie, you know, compared to the rom. And I enjoyed all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tad Fairchild, that he is an influencer, and he is basically like what the writers of the film feel like an influencer is. Chappelle, look, he was giving a lot of Frankie Grande.
Probably in the way Matt just said as well. but I think that, yeah, I think for me, I don't really know any influencers who are like in real life.
I'm
so
sure
I don't
you do.
Not really. So I don't spend time with people who are constantly pulling out their phone to try to make a moment. But that was Tad. He knows what he's here to do. He's here to get followers, to get trending, and he's always paying attention to the stats and the passerbys. And so he's constantly worried about, you know, does this moment look good? Should we capture this moment? And he knows that having a super rich fiance can help him with that. And so, yeah, he's able to utilize that in a very annoying way, actually. Like, I really could not stand every time he pulled out the phone, but he's a fun character, I think.
Okay. So the other important character in this film is Jake Russell, the aforementioned Cord Overstreet. He runs a nearby bed and breakfast. And he feels like, hey, yeah, this is like a fancy schmancy resort, but everybody starts out at the smaller bed and breakfast. And then when they become more successful, then they can go to stay in the fancy schmancy ski resort. And so he's going to pitch Lindsay Lohan's dad, and he makes a pitch that Beauregard Belmont, that's Lindsay Lohan's dad, he kind of gives him the brush off, but they send him out the door with a latte for his troubles. And as he is exiting the nice fancy schmancy resort, he ends up running into Lindsay Lohan's Sierra Belmont. And when I say running into her, quite literally, and got a little bit of latte foam on her dress. And Matt, it's a big deal.
Talk about original content. We've never seen anything like this in a movie, you know, or any kind of media where you run into somebody and spill a liquid all over their dress. Yeah, that's the beginning of these. And I mean, I guess not to like cut ahead to like, you know, the next stage in these two was friendship and whatever else is to come. But it struck me so much like on the rewatch of like how much this meant nothing to anything that they are going to go through.
I was infuriated. That no. Speaking of amnesia, no person involved with this incident ever since Romare Chappelle. Like, I thought that I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. That eventually, like, it's like, oh, he doesn't remember that he ran into the heiress and she doesn't remember it. Like, at some point, I'm waiting for him to say, you!
Oh,
you're the latte guy!
Yeah. You think that the moment, like I said, this could have been very formulaic. It could have been right on point with everything we know. Because that, Rob, you're describing something we've seen before. We've seen that happen plenty of times. But what this did was it made you think that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. What you would typically see in a situation is, even if he doesn't remember her at first or she doesn't remember him at first, eventually he spills the coffee again, or, you know, she says something about her fake designer, you know, outfit or whatever, and it clicks something in one of their memories, and then it's like, oh my God, it's you. And it's like, well, I can't be with you. You're just a such and such from the small lodge, and I'm rich. And it was just kind of like a subplot. Like, oh yeah, we once ran into each other, but ultimately that's not going to matter at all. It's just going to be something that nags all the viewers and Court Overstreet throughout the entire film.
It made me so angry that they never mentioned it.
But I mean, and Rob hasn't watched Glee, but Chappelle, there's a lot of Sam Evans in this as well. Like, you know, the character that Cord played on Glee was a very, you know, charming individual, but not the brightest bulb. Right away, I'm like, okay, there's a lot of Sam Evans here in Jake Russell, of just how did he not, you know, realize or pay attention or pick up on it? I don't think both characters had amnesia, but it did seem like, you know, the signs were there. I mean, they do an okay job in taking Sierra Belmont and making her, you know, glammed up to you know, as much as she could be in that scene. So, you know, maybe she was a little unrecognizable later on when she's just, I don't know. It was, yeah.
It's mind boggling where I get, okay, she has amnesia, but he went to go meet her dad that he knows, like, who her, he spotted her dad on the, like, he like stalked her dad. He definitely knows who she is. And then he ends up getting kicked out of the resort after he spills the coffee on her. And all through the whole movie, I'm wondering, like, oh, he knows. Like, he knows who she is. And that's why he's going to put her to work at the hotel. This is like payback. You got me kicked out of the hotel. Well, now you have to work at my bed and breakfast. And now, basically, you're my worker here as punishment for what you did to me. I mean, that's overboard. That's the plot of that movie, but it never comes up again.
I mean, Matt probably has a good point in that.
He's just dumb.
Well, we're very familiar with Court Overstreet's work. Trouty Mouth was a himbo in Glee. And it was very much, he was just not the smartest, you know, person on the cast by any means. But he was really nice. And so for us, it didn't feel out of place for him to not remember her. Also, he never really got a good look at her. So he runs into her. She's got her big ass hat on. She's got big sunglasses on. She's yelling like there. It's a lot going on, but he doesn't really see her face. And so that's what it is. It's like, yeah, I kind of recognize this one woman I bumped into one day. But did I think that same socialite would be laying in, you know, a snowbank in the woods? No, probably not. So I could see why he would miss that.
And it doesn't come back to him after she's wearing the designer red dress. And then what do they put her in? What's the dress that's in the box that they put her in at the end of the movie? They dress her up in another red dress that doesn't trigger anything.
To be fair, when he rumped into her, I think she was wearing pink, Rob. I'm just saying. There's the things. It's, you know, it's like,
it's Christmas time. It blends together.
Reddish. That was all the same. Okay, listen. Rob, when she hit the stairs, he should have seen her and said, yeah, that's the moment. He should have been like, oh God, I know who you are. And shipped her off to her family. But I think it's one of those things where he just didn't see her face. You know, the red dress, cool. But red dresses are common. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, if we really, really want to get into it all, I mean, if we want to like look at it from a different lens and maybe make it a different movie from what we think it is, so cookie cutter, so the same as everything else, maybe he knew the whole time and just played off and just kept it going because he was falling in love with her and he didn't want to, you know, I don't know, just maybe he was a little bit more villainous than we actually are imagining, even though he's this good guy. Everybody was throwing money at him, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, maybe deep down he knew that at some point he could get her to fall in love with him without having to reveal. I don't know.
Yeah.
No. Wait, Matt. Continue. Don't let that thread go, because this man makes a ton of money off of him rescuing her and making her fall in love with him.
He saves
his whole lodge just by doing this. So if this is the long con, he's not unsuccessful by any means.
The anti-Sam Evans. Yeah.
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 Smart.
So I am rewatching the scene.
The dress
is the same color. He definitely looks at her. She is wearing a uniform that it's giving Carmen Sandiego for sure.
And he doesn't have much time to look at her. He kind of gets pushed out by all three guys.
He's spending at least 30 seconds to a minute in conversation with her. She is wearing big sunglasses
and a hat.
Maybe he's face blind like Akiva.
Maybe he's face blind like Akiva. There's a lot of Akiva isms in this film. Mm-hmm. So Akiva famously a himbo.
Not
as
the
well.
Christmas part. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, not except that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But. I don't know. When her dad, they end up finding her at this thing, the dad is just instantly well, I can tell you've taken very good care of my daughter. Okay. Well, that was very quick that you jumped to that conclusion, because it seems a very alternative reading of this could have been that you have been keeping my daughter hostage at your bed and breakfast that you're trying to get me to invest in for a week while she's missing. With some sort of a traumatic head injury. I don't know.
the dad is questionable in a lot of aspects as well. I mean, not only is all of what you just said, but the fact that he, sees right through Ted/Tad, whatever he wants to call him. And then, the engagement and all that stuff. And he's just like, yeah, no, it's fine. If you're happy, it's like, no, this man is no good for your daughter for a lot of reasons. But he doesn't seem to mind.
Yeah, we've tiptoed around it long enough. The real villain here is Santa. We can talk about it, but dear God, that Santa, okay, I don't want to jump too far ahead, Rob, but eventually we find ourselves at a Christmas tree making a Christmas wish for a little girl who no longer has her mom, which Sierra can relate to because she no longer has her mom. They end up going to here, and the little girl makes a Christmas wish, but nobody can know what it is. But Santa knows, or I'm sorry, a gentleman who looks like he could be related to Santa. A Santa type, a Santa Claus type is there, kind of winking, making you would think he's in on some type of Christmas miracle that's about to happen. And then boom, we got people falling off mountaintops and getting concussed. This woman hit her head on a tree. Yep. She could have died.
Yeah.
All for this little girl's wish. This Santa made this happen. I don't blame anybody. If Cor was extorting this woman, it's because Santa led him to do it.
Very fair. Very fair. Santa really is. He had an agenda.
Mm-hmm. So someone should hear the Grinch's side. I'm just saying.
So Lindsay Lohan, she goes off with her boyfriend, Ted Fairchild, and he tells her that she can't sing in the car as they're going off to go and get engaged. Matt, were you happy that they let Lindsay Lohan finally sing again?
They let her sing again. And not only did they let her sing again, but Rob, I'm sure you picked up on this as a Mean Girl stan, through and through. She got to sing some Jingle Bell Rock, which is, of course, a fantastic callback to one of the most iconic or famous scenes in Mean Girls, where the four girls are up on stage doing some Jingle Bell Rock. And for a brief moment, you're very upset with Tad for turning the music down. You can forgive him if you do find comedy in that character, but it was a joy to bring that back.
Yeah, it was all there except for the thigh slap from the original Mean Girls, and so I was happy because I thought, this is why we came here. We came here to see Lindsay Lohan back doing her old Christmas shenanigans, but Tad sucks, and so he cut it short. And I wasn't the happiest, but Lindsay Lohan has a little voice on her, so it's never a problem to hear Lindsay Lohan sing.
Yeah. Okay, so Tad takes her up to the top of this hill and then gets down on one knee to make his proposal. And then, unfortunately, the ring he got is too big. And as the weather turns, she ends up sliding off the mountain. And that Tad goes to grab her. But Matt, is he just going to grab the ring?
Yeah, I mean, that's all he really needed to make sure was safe in that moment. Yeah, she's falling backwards, and she points out the ring is too big. The ring is too big. That's the only thing that she has to say in the moment, not yes or no to the question that was proposed. So he does catch the ring and not the girl.
Yeah.
No, the weather did not turn. Helen was pushed.
Santa, yes Helen was pushed.
Santa made the wind thing happen. Mm-hmm. And so while this little girl's Christmas wish is being made elsewhere, this woman is falling off a mountain. To be fair, Tad fell off the mountain too. Mm-hmm. They just kind of fell in two different directions. She hit her head on a tree and he just got lost in the woods for a little bit.
And there's also a lawsuit here, you know, if you get deeper into it, with the sign that, you know, there was a sign that said danger, do not pass before they all drove in. It had snow covering it. So they probably needed to do a little bit better of sign work there. So Santa's not the only one at fault. Yeah, he's definitely at fault.
Yeah. Definitely, Santa should be named in the lawsuit for sure. Also, that head injury was uncomfortable to watch.
People
like
have
Chappelle
died.
Said, she could have died. She could have died. She probably maybe.
I don't know how she doesn't die based on the injury that she suffered.
Yeah, no, that wasn't that wasn't like a oops, ow, I hit my head. That was like you fell off a mountain, tumbled down into a tree, and yeah.
I mean, she went headfirst into a tree at what, roughly 30 miles an hour.
At least.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, but nobody wants to talk about Santa in this. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. She wakes up and she is in some sort of a hospital and she, again, she doesn't know who she is. She does know she hates hospital food.
And this is where you get your diva version of the character.
But she's not supposed to be a diva anymore. She was like supposed to be a diva before she got the head injury.
The hospital brings out the worst thing.
It doesn't make sense.
The nurse is like, if you don't get this woman up out of here now, she's not about to ruin my whole Christmas season.
Yeah.
Yeah. That actually was pretty funny how this woman has amnesia, but she's being such a brat that nobody wants to take her in. Like, there's a moment where Cord Overstreet's character, Jake, offers to take her in. And then quickly, when she starts complaining about the breakfast part of the bed and breakfast, he's like, actually, why don't you stay here? And the nurse is like, no. she's going with you. And the police officer's like, yeah, sorry, Jake. She's going with you. So, yeah, she's a bit of a diva. That's, again, she lost her memory, but she remembered that she way too bougie for some of this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now there is a police officer that is here during all of this. And this man also is a, you know, major issue that I have with the film, because he knows that there is this woman here with the amnesia that does not know who she is. It takes him so long to be able to piece together that the missing person that he gets notified about is actually the person that he helped at the hospital.
I don't know, Rob. To be fair, he didn't really know she was missing for days. Like, nobody instantly called and was like, Beauregard's daughter is missing, because they thought she was just hanging out with her fiance. So it's like, by the time he got the call, I think he started to act on it. But I would say this is about the amount of time it would normally take for law enforcement to act on.
No, this was shoddy police work, Chappelle, because at the time that they go to start, like, the missing persons, like, what's the first thing they do? They go to freaking Ralph's car, Ralph's ice shack, and go look for Ralph. He already knew that she was at the hospital.
Yeah, he didn't know it was her, though. I mean, people go missing every day, man. You know,
a woman that, how many people show up at the hospital that they don't remember who they are? There's also a missing person. You don't have to be serial to figure this out.
Look, this is only just going back to the Jake did this theory, because we never get an explanation as to why the business is going as bankrupt as it is. So he definitely spent like their last good amount of money on paying off this police officer and Santa and everybody involved here. Tad was probably involved in some way. I don't know. That's where the money went.
Yeah. And what happened to the ex-wife?
Right.
See, that's dark.
Unanswered question. That's dark. Unanswered question.
Can't even touch that one. Can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, that poor girl. That poor little girl.
Yeah. So that she has no fingerprints, no nothing, no ID on her. And so nobody knows who she is. She's Jane Doe. And so that they end up just like, oh, I've got a bed and breakfast. She can come live with me.
I mean, what else are you going to do? What are you going to send her home to where? Mm-hmm. You know, she has to go somewhere, Rob. And this man has plenty of vacancies because his business sucks. No one wants to go there. Airbnbs are out here running them into the ground.
Airbnb, that's another the real villain in the film.
True.
Yeah, I mean, truer statements haven't been made.
What do you guys think happens if the mountain, the fall happens backwards and Tad falls and Cord Overstreet finds Tad on the ground by the tree? Mm-hmm. He's concussed or, you know, has amnesia. They bring him to the hospital. Like, how does that proceed from there? Is it just same a gay story. Rom-com?
Yeah, I think so. Wow.
This,
at the very least.
Yeah, might be controversial. I don't think the hospital should be giving out amnesia women to people.
It's Christmas.
You can't just go. It's you can't just go hang out at the hospital. And it's like, oh, there's a woman. She has no idea. Like, I guess I'll take her. You put her in my house.
Well, the nurse thinks that at first, and she's like, I don't know if this is actually, you know what? She's horrible.
She's kind of rude.
Yeah. If you're rude, then results may vary. You know,
she didn't like the food here.
Right. And the cops said it was okay. You know, like, why wouldn't you trust the police?
Mm-hmm. They're in on it. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Look, Cord didn't have to bring her in, you know? So it's like, if he wanted to kidnap her with her amnesia, could just took her home. So I think they kind of felt like he was being on the level at that point. So they gave him a pass. But again, it's Christmas, Rob. Crazier things have happened.
Okay. There's a whole subplot of the film where Tad is looking to try to get back to civilization. He ends up stumbling across a guy named Ralph who has sort of like an ice fishing shack. They become friends. Matt, did you like the saga of Ralph and Tad?
Yet again, there's more here than just a saga of two friends meeting in the woods at a cabin. There's a lot more.
Was Ralph on Glee also?
No, but no. There was just, you know, a lot more looks being exchanged from Tad towards his new friend here that, you know, I don't know what happened in that cabin overnight, but he was just happy to He was just happy to find somebody, you know, it's because, you know, you immediately think like, you know, just one cabin, lights on, like where's any source of food or anything like that. So, you know, this isn't going to be a place where Tad's going to thrive. But the second he arrives and sees that man sitting inside, he knows he'll be okay tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, Ralph, your beautiful face. And Ralph seemed like a nice guy. I don't know if I would have jumped to your beautiful face, but I think that Tad might. And so he was very happy, felt like he was going to be taken care of. And Ralph even pulled that fishing lure out of his face, you know, after he passed out. So I think they were making fast friends with each other. And also, Tad had nowhere else to go. Remember, his phone is dead. This is an influencer without a phone. He's basically just down for the count at this point. He might as well be dead. So Ralph is all he has.
Yeah, you kind of don't see Ralph and Tad for the whole middle of the movie. Ralph does cook for Tad as well. That he makes him some beans, but they're a bit of a blindside butter beans that Tad was not expecting them to have so much of a kick.
Yeah
they're a tad spicy, if you
tad
will.
Tad spicy, but he's going to help him become an influencer.
Mm-hmm. And Ralph's like, I could probably do that. You know, this is Tad's superpower.
He hates phones. How's he going to be an influencer?
He just doesn't have one yet. You know, he just, it's one of the things, he hates it because he ain't it. You know, he doesn't have a phone, so he don't really know the joys. But once Tag gets done with him, he'll very much be right on the right track. Also, because Ralph's truck has broken down, they have to hoof it. They have to walk all the way to the city in basically a blizzard. And so they leave a note on the car to be like, hey, it's us. We're good. We're just walking to the city. Please send help. And so that's what the cop ends up stumbling across later on in the film.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jake ends up bringing Sierra, even though she doesn't know her name, to the bed and breakfast, the North Star Lodge. Is that what it's called?
Yes. Something like that.
Something like that. Okay. Yeah. He says, okay, here's the only clothes that I have for you. They're from the Lost and Found, and then gives her these Lost and Found clothes to wear. And then proceeds to mock her wearing the clothes. He's like, nice granny gown. She's like, you gave this to me.
She's also, you know, she's insisting the whole time, I'm not going to be here very long. You know, like, just give me your whatever granny clothes and let me go on with my day. Stop coming in here. Don't talk to me. Like, you know, we're very much getting, you know, the love story hasn't quite started yet. There's a long ways to go, but that was pretty messed up. I mean, Jake, you know, this is his villain story that we're explaining to everybody here. It's just, this was the first time he was showing that.
Okay.
To be fair, she was kind of a jerk. And so I normally don't have an issue with people being jerks to jerks. And so, you know, it was a little dig at the fact that she was wearing a granny gown.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know what goes on at this bed and breakfast, but apparently like Netflix is just like blaring at you like super loud, which is not really the greatest advertisement for Netflix so that it could do that. But it's here. And so she's up and she ends up meeting Avi. Okay. Avi is the daughter of Jake, who made the Christmas wish, and she ends up having a nice bond with Lindsay Lohan. Chappelle, did you like this little girl?
She's fine. You know, this is a run-of-the-mill Hallmark child. You know, we see this all the time. This child needs a parent, and when these kids show up in movies, you know they're going to get what they want. Okay. Once they identify that their parent is going to have a new spouse and to get over their mom or dad that they love so much, they have no choice. Like, the kid dictates what's about to happen here. And so when she sees Lindsay Lohan's character, she's kind of like, yeah,
you'll
be
do.
Good mom material. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people look at Lindsay Lohan and say mommy, but just, you know,
on Twitter. Yeah, for sure. This kid, I think she's been in other stuff as well. I vaguely remember her for something else. Oh, I think she was in the Heights, some other things as well. But yeah, when she popped up, I was thinking, this is the girl who's missing a parent who's going to get a parent at the end, and that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We also meet her grandma, who is Jake's mother-in-law. Also, I think this is kind of interesting that Jake's mother-in-law, the mother of Jake's deceased wife, really pushing very hard for him to get in this relationship.
Yeah, man, it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years, Rob. I mean, at some point, he's got to move on. Mm-hmm. That's what she's trying to get him to understand. Like, because right now, she's co-parenting with him. You know what I'm saying? You need to find
a mom. She needs some time for herself.
Unburdening. And,
you know, the interesting dynamic here, obviously, it's not his mom. It's his wife's mom. And, you know, so a lot of different moving pieces into figuring out how these three connect with each other. And obviously they're a very well-oiled machine. They get each other through the days, and they seem to be very close, and they are doing a great job, at least, you know, the two adults in the picture here, of keeping this business alive as long as that they have. I think it's definitely understandable that she's ready to see Jake find some romantic interests.
Yep. And the mother-in-law, she is helping to run the hotel. She explains about how, really, you know what really has killed us? They don't really blame the Sierra Belmont's establishment. You know who it really is? Airbnb. Airbnb. Yeah. People used to come here, used to have a whole experience. Now they got to go get an Airbnb. They got to take out their own garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Ruined everything.
I remember when it was shiny and new, Rob. Mm-hmm. I remember those good old days when you're like, man, you could get a hotel, but man, Airbnb is so much cheaper. And then you get these nice locations that you get. It's not like a hotel. Now it's more expensive than a hotel. It's definitely not as convenient. There are Airbnbs that will tell you what you can and cannot do, at what time you can and cannot do them. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I just go to a hotel and you know, just take a risk. You know, because Airbnbs also aren't the most secure all the time. I really think it's time for them to go. So maybe Alejandra has a point here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that they're not happy with the Airbnb taking up all the business for Sierra. Is she Sarah yet? Do they give her a new name? Yeah, Sarah.
She's Sarah by now. They pick it from a collection of stuffed animals on the bed.
Okay.
That all have different names. So.
Yeah. All right. So she's Sarah now, and they kind of give her the sense. She says that, okay, they told me if I just do normal things, maybe there's a chance that my memory comes back to me. Unfortunately, Matt, she can't do any normal things.
I have to say his name again, Akiva.
Yeah.
There's the parallels exist there, but
she can't make a bed. She can't clean a toilet.
And, you know, to be fair, not many people do well with putting the fitted sheets on the bed. You figure it out. You know, you do it. You have to do it. But it is hard. She does struggle. She looks like Patrick Starfish by the time she's, you know, all done trying to get on there. It's not working. None of this is working. And, you know, they have no idea that normal stuff is completely not in her nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she ends up being way worse, like more trouble than it's worth, because they think this is free labor. And then she decides to basically destroy the whole place by like doing her chores very poorly. She's doing plumbing, but the water is like spraying out of the toilet. That shouldn't happen. She overflows the washing machine at some point. This woman is not good for business.
Yeah. So Chappelle, she knocks the soap into the washing machine. And then we see Jake come into the room. It looks like that Jake is about to give the business to Avi. He's like, damn it, Avi. This is you mess with the washing machine again. Seemed like that really we were about to see Jake go off until he finds out that it was Sierra.
Mm-hmm. But see, like, Avi don't have no excuse. Avi, you're what, 5? So you've been probably doing laundry for roughly 2.5 years mm-hmm. by Jake's standards. So you should know what you're doing. This woman has no memory. And prior to her losing her memory, she still didn't know how to do laundry. So you have to be a little bit more forgiving to this grown woman who has no memory as opposed to this child who is a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to then go outside, hang out with the horse. We got to set the mood a little bit here. Okay. Jake and Sarah, there's some sparks, right, Matt?
Between the horse and Sierra?
No, yeah. Balthazar.
Yeah. No, there's, you know, we're in the sad girl phase of the movie where, you know, she's really not feeling, you know, she's obviously upset. She still can't figure out who she is. And even though the hotel staff at this point have figured out that she's gone, they still haven't come and found her yet. Mm-hmm. Nobody's found her. She still doesn't know her name. So she's feeling like hopeless and useless because she's messing up all these tasks. The guy that she's been taking care of is mad at her right now. So everything's going awful. And, you know, at least she can have the horse to talk to, but it's just, yeah, it's she's down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while talking to the horse, you know, Jake overhears, of course, that she's a sad girl now. And he's like, oh, well, maybe I'm being too hard on her, so I need to go help her out. Because I don't think he had been looking at it from her point of view. This woman's been missing for over a day at this point, and nobody has even called. And so he's like, okay, maybe you're having a tough go at it. You're not just an idiot who can't wash clothes. So he ends up like being like, hey, why don't we all go to the Christmas market and maybe somebody will recognize you there? And to that, I say, again, Rob, this is the second time we've talked about a holiday movie that a Christmas market pops up.
No. Okay, first
off. What is a market of Christmas?
I have so many issues with the Christmas market. First off, Christmas market, so fake. It looks so fake. The whole thing looked so phony baloney, okay? That this whole town like has a whole like economy all around Christmas, but the North Star Lodge is teetering on the brink of going out of business. This Christmas market completely packed. Is it a one day Christmas market here?
I don't know. We saw it in the Christmas Switch as well. They have Christmas
market. Always it's just have a Christmas
thing.
Market. Yeah.
Right. And I thought this was white people shenanigans, but then the mayor of the town and the sheriff, hell, half all the people in charge are black. Mm-hmm. There don't seem to be many black townspeople, but all the administrators here, the people calling the shots, they black. So I mm-hmm. guess we sanctioned this Christmas market. This is new information for me.
Yeah. Okay. Here was my problem with this also, where that what date is it here in the town that's entire economy seems based around Christmas? That these Christmas tree lightings, they're happening like this week. No way this town waited until like December 18th to do their Christmas tree lighting. Get out of here. Maybe they light the tree every night.
Yeah, it's like this is the one that counts. You know, they light the tree every night, but this is the big lighting, you know. So they too saw a Lindsay Lohan movie and thought it's Christmas. So they probably mm-hmm. started this roughly November 12th, and then you know now it's December 18th, 19th, and they're like, okay, now we can officially light the tree.
Or it's like Disney World; you just do the fireworks every night,
every
do the
night.
Whole show every night. You never, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So they end up getting a snow globe. Chappelle, I was just very disappointed by this. I felt like that the snow globe was going to, oh, okay. Because she got a snow globe with her dad. I'm like, oh, the snow globe's going to be the thing that's going to, like, at the end of the movie, she's going to hold the snow globe because they set that up in the beginning. Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, it's like you're disappointed that the movie is not the movie you've already seen a billion times. Mm-hmm. We've seen that movie. They're giving you something fresh, something new. This is Santa looking on from a distance, as Santa is known to do, and watching this thing happen. And then he kind of like casually, like they're like, oh, you like this sled? Ooh, it's too expensive. Typical Christmas mm-hmm. capitalism storyline. But they're like, but I'm going to give you this snow globe. And we're like, there it is.
Give you.
They're gonna shake it up. Yeah. And you're gonna got buy this. It. Yeah, you got this snow globe. It's probably on discount or something like that. We know mm-hmm. he ain't got no money. But, you know, he's like, here, try this instead. And we're thinking, one day she's going to shake that bad boy up and the memories are just going to come flooding in. But they don't. This is just a moment where Jake sees she really likes this thing. Maybe it means something to her. And I want to do a nice thing for her, Rob. So, I don't know. It's like you're complaining about the thing that we should have got. Well, not like that we didn't get what we always get here.
Yeah. Here's my complaint. It's like mm-hmm. that. Just don't put the thing in there. Like to don't like. I don't think this was a swerve. Like I don't think that they like artfully played with my expectations. It just seems like that they set the thing up and then just didn't ever pay it off.
Well, what about your emotions? Did they play with those? Because that was kind of the point of this.
You seem frustrated at the very least.
I'm frustrated. I mean,
you're supposed to be a sad girl listening or watching the movie.
I guess so.
You know, yeah. You're supposed to, you know, hear the stories about Lindsay Lohan talking about her mom that she misses, and Avi talking about her mom that she misses, and the snow globe, and all the hairbrush, and all the reasons that, you know, they miss them around the holiday season, and why, you know, Lindsay Lohan's going to be Avi's new mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess so. I gotta go check in the lodge, see if they have any availability coming up for the holidays. Yeah.
You're gonna get a room?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me look. Let me go Google.
No, they're actually booked up.
They're all booked up. Summit Springs. Yeah. Let me see if I can get out there.
Is that a real place?
I doubt it.
I'm looking at
Summit Springs.
Might be a real place. Yeah, it
might
be a real place.
Mm-hmm.
Summit Springs.
Did the mayor get reelected on Tuesday?
I don't even know if this is like what state to look for. I'm just like types in Summit Springs. Oh, look, Colorado. There you go. Mm-hmm. I can guess that.
Yeah. So the next day, we start to see that Sarah can start to do some stuff. She actually made her own bed. Okay. She can kind of like she get a little more ambitious of cooking an egg. Okay. She's going to try to ski. She wipes out. Jake saves her, but she's trying stuff.
She had a head injury. They put her on skis again.
She should get a helmet.
Or at the very least, not ski for at least a week after you hit your head on a tree, you know, from skiing. It's very clear that she fell and hit her head skiing.
She should be sidelined for a couple weeks, let alone...
For a while. Yeah. Amazed. Maybe some physical therapy. Get Dr. Amanda on the line for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The nurse said you're good. You're out. Don't come back for no checkups. You're done.
We don't want you here anymore. Yeah.
She's like an NFL player. She got CTE and they're just like, get back out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get your ass on those goddamn skis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Too soon.
Too soon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're going through like the memory book. Grandma's like, yeah, this is probably gonna be it. This is last Christmas, I think, as we're about to go out of business. And Lindsay Lohan is like, wow, look at all these memories. And so then she goes to try to like jam the book back into Jake's desk. And then the inside of his desk is like this like giant, like 3-foot angel that was supposed to go back on the tree. And then she like pulls it out and he's like, what are you doing with that? Get out of my desk. Which points, right?
Yeah.
Hey, but you invited her here. What do you want her to just sit on her hands all day and not go anywhere, not look around? Like,
could you not go through my desk and play with my giant doll?
Like in his bedroom or something like that. But or was it? I don't know.
No, it's like his office.
Maybe she was looking for a piece of paper in the top desk drawer. Like, no, that's not.
Mm-hmm.
He did overreact a little bit. I mean, to be fair, if he comes in the room and says, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm just putting this thing away that your mother-in-law gave me. a short conversation, mm-hmm. but to come in like, you put that goddamn angel away. He's like, okay, whoa, slow down, baby.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to stumble across this huge Barbie in your desk.
Not a Barbie.
Yeah. Yeah. But I hated the thing with the angel too, because it was almost like that he had to like, he was like, the angel was like symbolic of like that he was still holding a torch for his ex-wife that died. Yeah. And it was like, okay, I'm sure this is a very complicated thing that you're going through, but you know, like, I don't know why that's like, it's time. I have to put the angel on the tree so I can actually date again now.
Right. That's the thing later on. Yeah. Where we are going to, you know, come around and the angel comes back into play later on. The snow globe doesn't, but the angel does. And far be it for me to tell anybody how to grieve and, you know, how to use their items that they use with their grief. But yeah, when he uses that angel, that was, you know, him and his ex or his wife's thing, to say, this is going to bring our family together, including this new member of potentially our family. It's like, well, maybe you guys could use the snow globe as the new thing for you and your family or something, but and that could have just been for you. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So Sarah has an idea. Okay. They're going to be under the mistletoe and they're almost going to kiss, but then Chappelle says, well, what if you're married?
Yeah, I thought that was dumb. Okay, nice. Like,
yeah, okay.
They're under the mistletoe, which doesn't really happen in real life. Like, you're just like, oh, I just happen to be walking with a person that I'm not actually dating. Yeah. Oh my God, a mistletoe. I guess we kind of have to kiss. Ooh, but you've forgotten stuff. What if you forgot that you actually have someone already? In my mind, I think this is a gray area. I think you just kiss. You just do it, and then you chalk it up to amnesia. Yeah. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You kiss her, and then, like, days later, the guy shows up, like, she's engaged. It's like, oh, well, you know, she
this
forgot.
This is a great point, Chappelle, because I did think about this. Of like, is amnesia actually nature's hall pass, Matt?
I don't want to answer that.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope to go down. But I feel like scientifically speaking, like if Dr. Amanda is wrong and for some reason I can't remember anything except the stuff that doesn't matter to me, but I've forgotten my name, all the people that really matter or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, let me kiss somebody who I clearly have feelings for. They have feelings for me. There's consent there. Let's go for it. Okay, cool. And then when I find out, like, oh shit, what are you doing here? Oh, I kind of remember, oh, I have another relationship. My bad. It's like, well, did you do anything that you would regret while you had amnesia? Yeah,
I
also had amnesia. Right.
Okay, well, Rob, play this into your real life. If you had amnesia and you kissed somebody and then told Nicole after, or she found out after, how would that go?
Yeah, so Rob, then
what day would your funeral
be? Yeah, when
on?
You get another traumatic head injury,
it
fixes it.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that'll be what happens. She'll.
I could see you getting with another like knock to the head. Yeah, you might hit another tree if that happens.
Yeah,
but again, I think she will get over it.
But honey, it's just amnesia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is encouraging.
I mean, if science says amnesia, now you can't just wake up one day and be like, oh no, I can't remember. Like, you have to like literally fall from a mountainside, hit your head on a tree, survive it, and then get taken in. By
Amanda
a nice
says it's not real though.
No, again, she's a doctor, but this is Christmas. Rob, you're really going to bring in science
doctor.
To this? She's not a Christmas doctor. She's definitely not.
Yeah. Okay. So Sarah has an idea. Okay. We're going to have a fundraiser. That's it. Yeah. Because there's so many people that came here. We're going to invite them back and then we'll set up a GoFundMe and everybody that had great times here, they'll give money. And she tells this idea to Jake. And Jake is like, I don't want no handout. Get out of my sight.
The people in the town.
Let her go. Get out of here. You can't even remember your name.
There's no, you know, villain grouchy person in the movie. So it just has to be, you know, your lead character here. The guy that's supposed to be falling in love with the woman with amnesia. He just turns into the grouch as often as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in most Hallmark movies, there's a moment where the person who is from the big city, who has now come to the small town and is dealing with the small town business, they're on the phone with their boss in corporate, right? And the boss is like, you buy that Christmas tree or else. And she's like, no, the town needs it. I don't really think I should buy it. It's like, you get back here immediately. And he's like, you get me that tree. And then like the guy sitting outside the door, he hears it and he's like, oh my gosh, he's really going to buy this tree that means so much to me, this monster. And then, you know, they have their falling out. She leaves and then she has to come back. Here, we didn't really have a corporate boss to lean on. So Court Overstreet had to just be very angry at the idea that people will know that his business that is failing is failing. Now, the people of the town that definitely do not stay there, that would rather go to Airbnbs and other huge lodges, have no clue that this lodge is failing. Mm. And so he can't let them know that. He doesn't want people to have pity on him, despite the fact that he's walking around telling everybody the story about his wife that is deceased and the fact that he's a single parent and the fact that he basically is begging, you know, corporations to help him out and investors and stuff like that. But this one thing, this fundraiser is just a bridge too far for him.
No way. Can't do it.
Nope.
Okay. Not on too his proud. Watch. Too proud. Okay. Yeah. So they're going to start to eventually, he comes around, they're going to start to work on having the party. There's a whole montage about all that. Back at the resort, okay? Finally, Lindsay Lohan's dad comes back around. He's like, I want to see my daughter. And they're like, there's like a personal assistant that's there that's supposed to be watching her, but he thinks that she went off on a vacation. And he's like, what do you mean you don't haven't seen my daughter in 4 days? And so they begin an investigation and they find that she's nowhere to be found and not answering her phone. And so a woman hunt actually is going to begin.
So, you know, I can't even imagine being in Mr. Belmont's situation at that moment because, yeah. You know, he trusted that she'd be in safe care. She was employed by him, in this, you know, spot within the place that they're all staying at and whatnot. So yeah, to come back and find out that, you know, she's nowhere to be found. And the excuse is basically like, well, she wanted some privacy. Yeah, that's a little worrying. You know, anybody not having, their phone on or being able to reach anybody in modern times is very alarming. So yeah, it's concerning. And the staff don't seem concerned. They probably are happy that she's gone too. I don't know if she's a menace like she was at the hospital to them. Then they were fine.
I don't know if she's a menace. Like, we don't see her be super menacing, Chappelle, but it does seem as though like everybody is like working very hard. They are like spoon feeding caviar to her. They are giving her champagne. Maybe she has blown up in the past.
You have to feel like there has to be a reason why this urgency is there. Like, everybody is just, like you said, they're falling over themselves. They're falling for Christmas, if you will. Yeah. But I really think that...
Christmas can take a fall too, Chappelle.
You know, I think the conversation can happen.
It goes,
you know,
both ways. It goes both ways. Yeah. Sometimes Christmas is falling, and sometimes Christmas can make you fall and have a traumatic head injury.
You could have a head injury or, you know, you could hurt your leg. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But yeah, here, I think it's more like the Belmonte money is going a long way. You know, they know that this man calls the shots. And if he says, you help my daughter, you go help my daughter. And so she's kind of been pushing away from them throughout the entire movie. Even before she lost her memory, she wasn't the biggest fan of all the help that she was getting. She was living in the life of luxury, but she was also trying to branch out, have her own career and stuff. So I don't know if they're afraid of her or the dad more. But the idea here is that she's missing. She's a grown-ass woman, so I don't think it's a huge issue. But when dad sees that her luggage has been left behind, he knows that there's some villainy afoot.
My daughter doesn't travel without her luggage.
That's all the luggage this woman has? Like, no way. And it wasn't even, like, that glamorous. It was not...
Plot hole.
That wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That closet size, like, you... That's not her closet.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. There's no way. I was like, does she live in this hotel?
I guess so.
Because it kind of feels like it, you know?
Which is fine. Like, all the greatest shows are with people living in a hotel, as far as I'm concerned. But this was not her room.
Yes.
This
was what are this the greatest shows where people live in a hotel?
Rob, The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's Suite Life on Deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They move to a cruise ship. It still counts as them living in a hotel. I agree.
Mm-hmm. It is a hotel. It's just on a boat.
Okay. So they are going to go. The police investigation has begun. Immediately, they go check out Ralph. They go to Ralph's ice fishing hideout. And they realize, well, we're going to be able to nail Ralph for poaching.
No, Tad was doing that. Oh, yeah.
No. Allegedly. Look. All I know is the cop shows up. He sees the letter that basically says we're heading out on foot because the truck is broken down, right? So the sheriff is like, oh, those knuckleheads are lost. And they're like, well, who was it? You know, it's probably Ralph out there on government property doing the things as usual.
Classic Ralph.
And so, yeah, classic Ralph. And he has a sidekick, like Matt says. He's out there with Tad.
Mm-hmm. So
very well trusted and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got a good alibi.
All right, so they're gonna try to bring in Ralph, and so we have like a whole like romantic scene where Sarah and Jake are gonna like dance, slow dance.
The red dress, as you mentioned
red
earlier,
dress
the
red doesn't dress just bring anything back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, there's been some tumultuous times within this little village here that they're all, you know, going with some ups and some downs. And this moment brings them all together. Yeah. And, you know, the mother-in-law and the daughter are going to sneak off and just let them have this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Tad and Ralph have been arrested. You know, they get dropped off at the sheriff's office, you know, to... And Mr. Belmonte's there. He sees everything. He's just like, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then that's when he's the only person who ever recognizes anybody else in the film. Yeah. He sees Tad and immediately is like, where's my daughter?
Yeah. By the way, he's just Belmont. He's not like Turner's girlfriend.
Megan Belmonte.
Yes. He's just Belmont.
Speaking of influencers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real influencer right there. I'll just call him Bo moving forward. Belmont.
Call him Bo. Okay. And they bring in Tad and Ralph into the police station. And then Tad vouches for Ralph. He's a good guy.
Oh, well, Matt?
He's a guy. Bo comes by and he's, you know, he's surprised to see Tad without, you know, his daughter as well. He's like, so what the hell is going on? He's like, oh, actually, I don't know where she is, but we're engaged. That's awesome. Right. Like, look, I even have the ring, which
Dad,
I know it's not on her finger. Yeah, Dad, come on. This is so exciting. You should be excited. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dad's not excited at all. He's confused as to why this marriage proposal happened for a number of reasons, I'm sure. But Danita, it's Christmas. Let them go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meanwhile, back at the North Star Lodge, all of the guests have come in, and one guest after the next, they're saying like, wow, like this place was so great. I came here and I had no money, but now I'm loaded and here's a donation.
Yeah. Now this is where I'm starting to look at Cord Overstreet's character, Jake, again, where I'm like, it sounds like you ran this business into the ground on your own because you've been doing all this free crap for people.
Yep.
Everybody has a story about how
he's bad at
lodge,
business.
Yeah. He's just not good at running a business. I mean, it's pretty clear since his wife passed away. He has just been like doing favors for people.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is, remember that time you let me stay here for a month and a half because, you know, my car broke down and you also went outside and fixed my car by hand. That was great. I've got $20 for
Chappelle,
you.
Chappelle, he's a two.
Is he? He might just be a moron, you know, I just really feel like he's like, he feels like he doesn't understand why the business is going like, the Airbnbs, these big corporations, like you're giving away free services to people.
Yeah,
that does not keep the lights on, sir.
And does anybody work here besides him, his mother-in-law, and, you know, this 5-year-old child?
Yeah,
he couldn't even pay a janitor. That's why he had to put this woman with amnesia to work.
Yeah. To be fair, the little girl is much older than five.
Chappelle said five. I read.
Yeah, Chappelle said. I know Chappelle said five. I just want to like. I think
she doesn't have working papers yet. She's not.
Yeah.
She shouldn't.
She's
be,
too young to be working. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it takes to get, you know, a new mommy or whatever.
Okay. So they're like making bank now. They're that North Star Lodge that they have so much money. And so
I don't know about that, Rob. They have some donations.
They're getting some donations. Yeah.
But the mayor, he says, we're going to make this a historic landmark now. So we can't close it down. No way. You know, so maybe that. But that still doesn't take care of operations. That just means that this building will remain a part of the town.
Yeah. So Mr. Belmont comes in. And says, oh, there's my daughter. Well, I guess you've taken very good care of her. And like, there's nobody like, hold on. You're the guy from that was trying to get me to invest in his business.
He's been on a trip since then. Mm-hmm. He's probably been drinking and I don't know.
You think that he forgot too? I don't know. I feel like to me, I feel like that there's a whole like alternative, like Scooby-Doo ending to this where it's like, Jake Russell, owner of the North Star Bed and Breakfast. It was you the whole time that had my daughter.
And he would have got away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids and mm-hmm. that damn puppy, you know? I think there's something there. But again, this was such a tiny part of his life. Like a man walked up to him and asked him for money. He's filthy rich, Rob. People ask filthy rich people for money all the time. And he went on a trip. And he, like Matt said, he partied. He probably turned up a little bit too much. He doesn't know this random guy. I mean, Court Overstreet, it looks like Court Overstreet, but I'm sure there are other people who do too. They just probably don't have the mouth on him that he has.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Mr. Belmont is like, oh, great. Thank you. All right. So they just take Sierra out of there. She's got her whole memory back now. Well, it all came back to her.
I think the ring helped. She's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I told you the ring was too big.
I hated this. This ring sucked.
Yeah. Now, remember, it wasn't the snow globe. It was the ring.
Yeah.
Of all the things that we talked about, her be jogging her memory, it was this big ass ring that she didn't want that really, like, you know, sets the tone.
And at this point, this is something else that drove me nuts. Okay. We get a very long series of flashbacks of like the entire movie. Like, was this for like, in case you're just joining us, here's the entire movie over again so far. Get amnesia? That is this. Why did we have to flashback and see the whole movie again?
It's for me and all the people like me who fall asleep, you know, for the first two thirds of the movie. Yeah. And then somebody wakes you up and says, it's about to be over. Like, wake up. And then you catch up in time. It's exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Long flashback.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a long flashback. The movie is a pinch too long. I would say,
and you say this all the time. It's 90 minutes.
I'm just saying, look, everything don't got to be 90 minutes. This definitely could have been a little hour long TV special. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like you said, that
what's
montage that we already saw,
yeah,
that's like 10 minutes of the movie.
Chappelle, what is the runtime, the minimum runtime something has to be to call it a movie?
An hour.
1 hour and 1 minute is a movie?
That's an HBO episode.
I think it has to be an hour 20. I think an hour 15 is not a movie. It's a special. I think an hour 20 is the minimum length a movie must be.
And that's a children's movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just did a quick Google, right?
Yeah.
Vulture has a list of the movies that are less than 90 minutes long. Okay.
Okay.
On this list, I'm seeing Dumbo.
Okay.
But
some of these animated movies like probably took like, you know, 4 years to draw.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. But still, The Lion King.
Not children's movies. Keep those out.
Okay. Isn't this a children's movie?
what are you saying?
No, it's not.
Adults probably should not be watching this.
No, nobody under the age of 30 is watching this movie.
It shouldn't be, at least.
Mm-hmm. It's coming all ages.
Yeah.
All right. Zombieland, Paranormal Activity, Borat. These are movies.
Yes, but how long are they? Are they under an hour and 20 minutes?
No, they're under 90 minutes.
Yeah. I said 120 is the cutoff.
Oh, 120. Okay.
Is there an article?
No, yeah, there's an article. But here's the thing. How long was this one? This one was...
It's like 135, I think.
So was it too long or not, Rob? You said an hour 20 makes it a movie, right?
Yeah, it was a little, they could have got it down like 15 minutes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That's all I'm saying. We didn't need this montage.
Yeah. Okay. But they were padding.
For what?
Anyway, she's back at the hotel. She can make her own bed now. She can act like a grown up. She can make her own breakfast. You know, is it rude, Matt, as somebody who's studied people who live in hotels, to go into the kitchen and then cook your own ass breakfast in the, like, people are working. Like, I'm making waffles in here.
When's the last time you walked into any eating establishment and didn't see a help wanted sign on the window? They were more than happy to have her come cook her own.
She wasn't helping. She was making her own food.
Yeah, and that's one order they don't have to make. They were perfectly fine with it.
That's true. I'm sure her breakfast is a lot more lavish than the one she threw.
They've been making her orders for years now, and they've all been sent back 4, 5, 6 times because they weren't right. Now she's just making it herself. They were fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so the media is there. Everyone wants to talk to the heiress amnesia. And she's going to give a press conference. And she goes ahead and talks about how, I was at the North Star Lodge. Go to www.northstarlodge.
On Instagram at North Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then everybody's asking questions about Tad, about the engagement, and people only want to talk to him.
Yeah.
Patriarchy.
He's an influencer.
She just didn't really know what to say.
Yeah, she's still trying to gather herself, and he's moving very quickly because, again, he knows that by announcing this engagement and stuff, like, he's basically railroading her. She doesn't have a chance to get out of any of these things. He's like, oh, no, I got you now, and now I need these followers. So the one thing she was able to do was promote the lodge that we know was failing up until this point.
Mm-hmm. So
he did this wrong. Like, just, you got to get it to the outlets, like, put it out in, you know, writing and get it out on social media. Not, you know, who's watching whatever interview this is. This isn't, unless you're streaming live on TikTok, he's doing it wrong.
That would have gotten more attention than to be all of the news media there.
I mean, the audience he's going for is not sitting there with, you know, ABC News on. They're on their phones.
Okay.
Watching RuPaul's Drag Race clips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So
is he.
Then. We see back with Jake that they're very sad. He's like watching the news, and then where Tad is talking about how they're in love, he turns off the TV. He doesn't want to watch this anymore. Enough. Turn this off. Yeah.
But the 9-year-old's going to save the day. So we're all good.
Yeah. Also, now she's 9. Okay.
Yeah. She's probably like 9 or 10. She's like, Dad, did you ever tell Sarah that you liked her? Like, no.
Yeah. F an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. That little girl says, oh, Dad, they're engaged. They're going to get married. Well, have you tried breaking it up?
She's just as bad as her dad.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's like, well, have you tried being a homewrecker? He's like, no, I haven't. She's like, what are you waiting for? He's like, duh, you're right. I should go ruin this woman's life. She seems happy. Well, maybe at the very least engaged. We should go ruin Tad's life. I don't know him. So let's go put a stop to this. Mm-hmm. So he goes over to the old sled that they've used for time and time again that doesn't seem to work consistently. But luckily, there is the magical sled that they couldn't afford that Santa was winking at earlier when he gave them the snow globe. It just happens to be parked outside. And so this like motorized sled doesn't work, or this snowmobile or whatever he had.
Yes, snowmobile.
But this horse-drawn sled, it is here. And luckily, Balthazar is just waiting over there to drag these people over the river and through the woods to go put a stop to this engagement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So meanwhile, that they don't even need to put a stop to the engagement because Sarah is going to do it herself. Matt, she's going to break
up. She's still Sarah?
No, she's Sierra now. Sierra. Yeah. Here's the ring. Thomas. Here's the ring, Tad.
Yeah, she's been looking for an out for a while. She was looking for a way out. She tried telling him the ring was too big. She tried falling off a mountain to get away from him, and none of that worked. So she's just got to go to the last resort and be brutally honest and give it back. And, you know, he's fine. It's okay. This is content. Anything can be content. So he turned it into, you know, some kind of post, and she's fine with
something.
It. And he's going to find bigger and better, too.
Yep.
Bigger for sure. So what happens here is that it's a big guy. I think what happens here too is that she goes and she talks to her dad, and this is something else she wants out of. She's like, Dad, I'm breaking up with Tad, but also in the meantime, I'm kind of breaking up with this idea that I should get this vice president of atmosphere job at the hotel. I really don't
want
it.
It's a good job.
No, it sounds like a pretty decent job. Like, if you told me I need to be the vice president of atmosphere at my job and I don't have to do nothing, just kind of reign over the atmesphere in the office. Okay. Whatever. She goes and tells her dad, who she had been worried throughout the movie, what is he going to say? He's going to judge me. He's like, do you think I care? I just want you to be okay. Like, what difference does it make if you don't work? We're rich. and you're a grown ass woman. Like, it's not, this is not a child, and you're giving her her first job at 17 to keep her out of trouble. We saw that last week, Rob, in Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. This is a completely different person. This is a person who is a grown ass woman who should have been had a job before this. He's just trying to give her some security. So she says, I'm good, Dad. Broke up with Tad. Let's move forward. And so things are working now in her favor. And also, business is booming for the lodge. They've now booked to capacity with all of her influence.
Yeah.
But also, like, how? I mean, just to, like, touch on that real quick, like, the phone's ringing. Every single line is lit up. It's, like, 20 different lines all at once. And
who's making a reservation by phone?
That too, you know, but she's not, like, she's on the phone, and then she's also, like, not only, like, on the phone with one person taking down the reservation, but she, like, hangs up on all of them to call Jake and tell him how excited she is because all the rooms are booked and the phones are still ringing. You know, it doesn't make sense, but it's okay. I'm happy that they're happy. I'm happy things are going well. And what happens with all the money that they got from all those checks? Is that also, because he says that that wasn't enough? I mean, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Again, for operations, maybe to keep the lights on.
Maybe they owed money.
You don't think so? The damn snowmobile don't even work. And they used to be more in Colorado, from what I understand. If y'all snowmobile don't work, I feel like you're
screwed.
You're in a tight spot. Yeah.
Okay. So Jake is going to go look for Sierra. He ends up talking about how he loves you, but it was actually Tad that was in the a Hummer limo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two. It threw me for a loop, because this is the moment in most Christmas movies where he's confessing his love to somebody who's definitely not her, but she overhears him. So I thought he was going to turn around and she was going to be right there like, Tad, like, you know, like, oh, whatever. Jake, I knew it all along. Or, I remember. But no, he's just confessing his love to Tad, who might be open to it, but he seems to be preoccupied with Terry.
Mm-hmm. He's a bisexual king, and we haven't talked about that in full detail yet. We're just tiptoeing around it. But yeah, Tad this entire time did not seem very interested in Lindsay Lohan, but he did find love in the end, and now he has plans for, what, New Year's? So the two of them, the guy that he's now making plans with is Lindsay Lohan's assistant throughout most of this. And yeah, so you find love in a hopeless place sometimes.
Okay.
Love, Matt. Was this love? Do you think it was love at first sight?
Look,
for
when
Tad
they close the window
Terry?
Up, whatever happens behind that window is not my business.
Do you think love happened?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know where love did happen, because Santa Claus points Jake to go.
A Santa type.
Points to go outside, go through there, and look who's there. And oh my God. They end up getting together, and Lindsay Lohan basically says, hey, you know, my dad would invest in your business if you spent time with me, which I don't know, kind of, I thought, like, put like a negative, it soured it for me. Like, it made it very transactional.
Yeah. Like, I really would like for you to spend time with me. And if you do, there might be something in it for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm worth a bit of money. You know, if you play your cards right, baby, we can keep this bad boy open for a long time. You know, Lindsay Lohan, don't do that. It's not the best.
Yeah. You know, but other than that, you know, they get together and she's happy he's here. And it was a Christmas that she'll never forget.
Rob, this is not the first time that Court Overstreet was a gigolo. It's definitely not. Matt, you're probably familiar with this, but Court Overstreet has been a man of company for hire before, you know? I'm pretty sure he was a stripper at some points during Glee, maybe even an escort. Matt, am I remember that correctly?
Yeah, he kept himself busy. I mean, he didn't, like, go out of his way to you know, get into all that. But, he did a lot of smooching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he works hard for his money.
Yeah, and then bloopers.
Yeah.
Ooh, I have never fast forwarded anything in my life that fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, dear God, I was, skip. I was looking for a post credit scene. I didn't need the bloopers.
No post credit.
I'm good. Again, if you cut that out and make those credits move just a pinch faster, we could get this thing to a tight 115.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But okay.
Okay.
Just saying,
Matt. Will there be Falling for Christmas too?
There won't be. This was, you know, a nice way to get Lindsay back in the swing of things and whatever is going to be next. And, you know, again, the Lohanissance is upon us, and that'll be fun, but it won't be Falling for Christmas too. Or if it is, maybe it'll be a way to keep Cordova Street, you know, in the Netflix model if this is a smashing success. I don't know, but probably not.
Yeah.
I disagree. Falling for Christmas again. Or it's right there. Like Netflix is not going to leave money on the table. As you said, the Lohan people are out here. I could see a Lohanica movie coming up.
Lohanica.
Yeah. Like, you know, like I really feel like we might have something here to work with moving forward. That's Netflix. You're going to get at least two of them, I'd have to guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at the hashtag falling for Christmas to see what people are saying. I see one person, Jonathan Dean says, watch the new Lindsay Lohan Falling for Christmas. Appalling. Nobody in the film wanted to be in the film. Terribly directed. No idea how to tell a story. Shite story anyway. Baffling prop decisions, acting subhuman. Highly recommend. Haven't laughed like that in years. 5 out of 5. So that's a positive review, I think.
That was a twist that I wasn't expecting. 5 out of 5, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I disagree with this person. I don't think the acting was it subhuman? I think it was fine.
I don't think it was
the worst thing I've seen.
Was it subhuman? Yeah, acting subhuman.
Is that what he said?
Maybe they were acting subhuman when they were being rude in the movie.
Oh, like, you know, they were not acting of themselves, you know.
Yeah. He was really on one about the movie. He really did like a whole like Twitter Q&A.
Yeah. I wonder what he had to say about the British, the Easy Bake Battle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Chappelle, has anybody seen, there's been like a lot of traction on the whole Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis like reconnecting thing. I know she was on Fallon talking about like, oh, she keeps calling me. So like, I don't want a Falling for Christmas too, if there's any chance of a Freaky Friday too. So just want to keep that out there.
They didn't already do Freaky Friday too?
No. I think Freaky Friday too has been getting floated around right now, I believe.
They both said they want to do it.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if I would watch it, but I'd definitely let Matt tell me about it.
I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in Freaky Friday 2, Lindsay Lohan, an adult woman, switches bodies with her mom, who is a senior citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there's probably a kid too, right?
She has a kid by now, and there's a three-way swap.
Three-way swap. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Boy.
Yeah.
See, I think the three-way swap, okay, put the kid in the old lady's body. Because it's sort of like, that's always weird in these body swap movies where a kid is like having sex with like a romantic relationships. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, you know, they kind of dance around it in these body swap movies, but like, it's definitely something that you have to like write around. But
yeah, I don't want the movie anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you wanted a Freaky Friday, but that might be too freaky of a Freaky
Friday. Too freaky.
Too freaky, too Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So if the kid becomes the senior citizen.
Maybe the kid is grown too. Maybe you got Jamie Lee Curtis, who's roughly 95. You have Lindsay Lohan, who's in her like 60s. And then you have like another adult daughter.
How dare you?
Who's like 40 something, you know, or like. You know, roughly 40 years old. So then that way everybody can have sex with whoever they want to and it's not creepy.
Yeah.
All right.
Three freaky, three Friday.
And then so the Jamie Lee Curtis, so that is, she could go back to like the like Lindsay Lohan, like in her prime. She's like, I'm back, baby. And then that would make then Lindsay Lohan has to then go into the kid.
Yeah, and then Lindsay Lohan has to do it all over. Like, she has to go be a kid again, you know what I'm saying? And she didn't like it the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, she switched with her mom and all that stuff. And then we get a sequel. We get that song again, Matt. Matt, what's the song at the end of Freaky Friday?
On and on and on. Don't want to grow up. I want to
That's the one. Keith Richards, mom. Richards. You know, like, that's got to happen. But this time it'll have to be somebody else who we don't know.
Yeah, the kids starting their own band now in the steps of, you know, of her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is necessary. I like this.
Okay. But all in all, I know I complained about it. It's fine. If you put this on, if you're doing Christmas stuff, Falling for Christmas.
Yeah, it's a perfect movie for
Don't pay too much attention to it. You'll be mad.
It was some good. Called, it was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some have called the acting subhuman.
Yes.
You can ignore that.
Just put it on for the vibes. That's it. Don't pay close attention.
Yeah.
Doesn't hold up.
I think it did.
Be the director of your own atmosphere.
Yes. The VP exactly. of atmosphere. Okay. All right. Chappelle, should we talk about what we have coming up next time on Nothing But Netflix?
Yes. One thing I used to do when we would have our guest on Nothing But Netflix is ask them, like, you know, anything coming up that pops out to them in particular. And so, Matt, as a first timer here on Nothing But Netflix, is there anything that you see that you potentially would like to hear us talk about moving forward?
The only thing that I know that's coming out soon is, I think, like, this Friday is the new season of Elite, but I feel like you guys have avoided that one for the most part.
I don't
part,
even know what
is
that
fine.
Is. Elite?
It's, I think, go ahead, Chappelle.
No, I was going to say, I think the reason we haven't talked about Elite is that it's several seasons in already. And so yeah. really tough to catch up to five seasons of a show. And actually, since it's coming out soon, six seasons of a show? Very difficult mm-hmm. task, but Matt has pitched that before in the past. Mm-hmm. So Matt, why don't you tell us what Elite is? Because I'm not sure either one of us really know.
It's soapy and suspenseful and for teens.
Yeah, it's a Spanish teen drama. It's Degrassi times 40. It goes there. But it's really good. I mean, the later seasons have turned into less like drama and more like, you know, rated R kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I'm not like necessarily still pitching it to be covered here, but that's just what I have coming up in my Netflix queue. So if you decide you want to watch it, call me. I'll be here.
Okay. Look, Rob, there's also Elite Short Stories.
Now, oh my
that
God.
That would take long to catch up on.
Those are cute. It's, a little 20 minute, those, but nothing you need to cover.
All right.
11 minutes each. Rob, I'm telling you, it's right up my alley.
Okay. Well, watch one and tell us if we should look at it.
Yeah, me and Matt will do a watch party. Matt once made me watch High School Musical.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And you loved it.
All right. Yeah. Oh, that's he made true. You watch it too. That is true. Yes. Matt, look at that. High School Musical bringing us all together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chappelle.
Hmm.
Looking at the charts, we talked about the number two movie at recording time in the U.S. today. I don't know if any of these other movies look super exciting to cover in terms of what will be a good podcast for Nothing But Netflix. But I'm looking ahead to next week of what is coming soon. So there's a couple of things. There's another Christmas with You, another charming feel-good family film for Netflix. Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. is back.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
He was retired from acting.
I think this still constitutes retirement.
Yes. Lindsay Lohan was coming down the stairs in the red dress, I thought it was giving She's All That.
Kiss me. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to do... Because I feel like, Rob, it is a slippery slope. If we start Christmas now, we're going to be doing Christmas movie forever. Okay. Like, for at least the next 6 weeks.
Now, there is another movie coming out. Now, it's not technically a Christmas movie, but it's kind of like a, like holiday... I don't know if it's like holiday-esque, but it's kind of like a family movie that you would go see in the movie theaters around the holidays. It's called Slumberland. We first talked about it during Ta-doom, and it stars Jason Momoa, and he is sort of like the keeper of dreams. So it's sort of like a fantasy kids movie with Jason Momoa being some sort of like dream person.
He was promoting a kids movie when he went on Fallon and showed his butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Jason Momoa, he makes some interesting decisions.
From
here.
The director of The Hunger Games comes Jason Momoa.
Another movie I have not seen. Let's see. I wouldn't be against this because I think you're right. I think because Jason Momoa has done this press tour, he showed his ass a little bit on TV and in social media.
It's going to be number one movie this weekend, I think.
Of course, people want to see them cheeks. And so they're going to show up to see if they pop up in this film. I guarantee you they should not. But people still going to check it out. If it's number one, we got
to
talk about it.
By the way, Matt, speaking of High School Musical, Down to Earth with Zac Efron. Have you watched that?
I have not. It's unfortunate because the rest of the cast is like off reuniting for season four of High School Musical, the musical, the series. And he's off, you know, gallivanting around caves and rocks and stuff. But I'm happy for him. I mean, his abs are still his abs, and they're there if you want to go watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
They do be abbing.
They do.
Okay. All right. Matt, what's coming up for you these days?
Final note before we get out of this is I feel like Glee fans would kill me if we got out of here and I didn't talk about the movie opened with a Darren Criss song. Chappelle, did you catch that at all? Did you notice that?
Of course not. No.
Okay.
Well, what was the song?
It's Everybody's Waiting for the Man with the Bag. Darren Criss put out a Christmas album. It was Christmas last year. And that was one of the songs off of it. So Cordova Street must have pulled some strings and gotten Darren, you know, featured in the movie. So that was cool. In my world, I am podcasting about The Challenge over on the Dom and Colin podcast every week, season 38 in full swing. So doing that with Brian Scally. And Aman and I are still doing some, you know, sporadic choir room coverage, songs, episodes, all that fun stuff. So keeping that feed alive over there and keeping busy. So choir room, challenge, that's what I'm at. And thanks for having me.
This was really fun to go through this, Matt. So thanks for being here. Yes, Chappelle? Yeah,
Matt. I'm always curious, Matt. You do know that Darren Criss didn't write that song, right? Because I know that you famously think that Glee songs are the song, and then all the other songs are like the knockoff version of
that's
the song.
That's a great question, but it was his version, so that's...
Okay. But but you didn't answer my question.
Did I know that?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know anything about the song.
Okay, I'm just messing with you. But that's a great song, but I didn't even pick up that it was Darren Criss's version, so I might have to go back and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Now you know.
Cool.
Okay. And Chappelle, what's new for you?
Let's see. Wrapping up a bunch of shows on my end, man. Atlanta on FX just ended, and LaTanya, Mari, and I just covered the finale of that on post-show recap. So if you were a fan of the show Atlanta, have four seasons of an amazing television show by Donald Glover that we covered the last two seasons of. We did some catch-ups for the first two seasons, but it's over, and we have released our podcast. So you can check that out on post-show recaps. Also on post-show recaps, The Walking Dead is ending soon. And so Josh Wigler, AJ Mass, and Jessica Lisa and I will be talking about the finale of The Walking Dead.
Oh, my God. Next week.
Yeah, wow. Finally. 10 seasons, 12 years, I think, of Walking Dead. We've done
only
so 10 much.
Seasons.
Only 10 seasons, or I think we're up to 11 now. And so, it's one of those things where it's happened for most of my life. And so I'm happy that it's gone. But like more like a good ending to a very long story. So we're hoping that they stick the landing and that we stick it as well on the podcast. I'm still on post-show recaps talking about Abbott Elementary. Every other week or so, Gia Worthy and I are going to drop another podcast to cover one or two episodes of Abbott, depending on how they are released. I think this week there was no Abbott Elementary episode. And so we'll only be releasing a podcast to talk about one episode, or we might wait another week and do two. We'll see. But check that out on Post Show Recaps as well. We have our own feed, Abbott Elementary by Post Show Recaps. And so check it out, or Abbott Elementary, a Post Show Recap. So check that out wherever you get your podcast. Sasha, Joseph, and I are still covering Never Have I Ever. It's about to end as well. We're finishing up season three of Never Have I Ever coverage on Silent Podcast. And so follow us on Never Have I Ever by Silent Podcast, wherever you get your podcast, to keep up with that. I was recently on the Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast. Talk about Boy Meets World, because they're wrapping up that season. They're at season 7.
Oh, my God. Are there going to be any podcasts anymore?
Not for me. At least this, I still have this one, Rob. We'll have, at some point I'll have nothing but Netflix, and I'll be having a good time with that. So people can check me out there, or follow me on Twitter for a limited time, it seems, or follow me on Instagram at Chappelle TNT, just in case.
Smart. Okay. All right. Well, this was so much fun to go through, with both of you. This was, got me in the holiday spirit now. Gotta start thinking about...
Go.
I think it's going to start, figuring out holiday plans. Got to work on my scrapbooks now to get everything ready for the holiday season. So really, really fun to get to be talking about. I always love it when we talk about something that's one of the top move things on Netflix. So thanks for being here with us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.